So what we want to do is to let this first one, two, three rows of young people. Haley, you count as a young person, all right? First three rows plus Haley of young people be against everybody else in this room, okay? Are you ready? Who was the first man?
Adam.
Oh, the young people got that one in a heartbeat. All right. What was Adam made from? I heard a dust back over here. Aged, anciently old people got the dust, okay? Let's see. Moses, okay? Who said that? The old people got another one. You going to give me an answer? Abraham.
Abraham.
All right. That's two and two, okay? Name three patriarchs.
Abraham.
Man, we didn't do very well on that. Let me ask a question again. You ready? Who built the ark? I believe these young people got it. You know, I believe the young people got it better. Okay. Name three patriarchs. Oh, way back over here. All right. How many books of history? Did I hear 12 here from this young man? This young man right here got 12. All right, okay. Was that you, Kathy? Was that your voice that low? You just lowered your voice down that low. All right, okay. Four and three. Old folks, you'd better get ready. Are you ready? That's not on the prophet card. That's on the priest card. I can't ask that. I think I'll go ahead and ask it anyway. How many generations from Adam to Noah?
10.
Four and four.
She's young.
She's young? Nope. Hey, she's back here, you know. She's not as young as you thought she was, okay? All right. Final question. Are you ready? What did God make on the sixth day? I heard animals and man. Old folks won. Oh, young people. All right. Next week we'll get them, right? Next week we'll get them. Okay. Two or three things that we need to mention, and we have mentioned these before, and that is that this Wednesday night is the final time to go ahead and earn the next level of study. So if last time you did the overview of the Bible and you got the first card that has the red ring around that, if you go ahead and do that second card of that overview of the Bible, you can get the blue ring for the priest, and then the purple ring is for those individuals who have gone all the way and got the overview. So you'll be receiving one like this. Now then, we're with the blue cards, and so now the next thing that we will get will be another dog tag like this, except it will be blue. So the only one that you can get this time is the blue ring, the prophet card that will have the, what color is the blue? Oh, it's red. It'll have the red ring around it. So you understand how to do that. And several have already done that, gone to the website. The questions are outside. And there are 60 questions, or 45, 50 questions on that. It's not nearly as easy as the other card. Now, we will be passing out, a problem will be next week before we can finally get them all finished. They're 90% finished right now. We'll have the next level of cards. And we actually need some feedback from you about, do we pass out the prophet card and the priest card and the king card right when we start? I have some reservations about it. It's difficult for us to know. You would be discouraged if you got all three cards, and I have all three cards. You'd be discouraged if I look at this and I've got 200 facts to know from Genesis through Exodus. But I promise you, you'll be amazed at what you will learn about this. All right. Anything else, David, we need to talk about? What? Got it? Okay. All right. Let's continue where we are. If we start and name those 15 periods of Bible history, the first period of Bible history is what? Creation, then? Flood, third period of Bible history. Patriarch. So we're in the patriarchal age. I want to spend a little bit talking about Lot. What do you know about Lot? The relationship between Abraham and Lot is what?
Nephew
and uncle, all right? Abraham leaves the Ur of the Chaldees. That was the land where you first lived. And God said, go to a land that I will show you. So he leaves there and he goes up to a place called Haran. And he stays there until his father dies. How old is his father when he dies? Does anybody know that from the reading the book of Genesis? Do anybody know that how old Terah was when he died? 205 years of age. Are you listening? When his father dies, Abraham leaves Haran and comes down into the promised land. How old is Abraham when he leaves Haran, where his father's died? How old is Abraham when he moves down into the promised land?
75.
He's 75. Question. How old was Abraham? No, Abraham was one day old when he was born. How old was Terah when Abraham was born?
130.
205 minus 75 is 130. The reason nobody got the right answer about how many years is it from the flood until the birth of Isaac is you stop reading after chapter 11. You saw that age. He was 70 years of age and he gave birth to Abraham and to Nahor and to who's the other one? Haran. He gave birth to those three sons when he was 70 years of age. You assume that Abraham was the firstborn. And so you added that 70 years. So if you came up with 392, should have read the next chapter. You missed it by 60 years. The number of years is 452. That's the way you get to it. So read it carefully, all right? That's really what that special question is all about. And we have those questions. We throw them out just to get everybody studying. You've got to get in there and look at it and read it really, really carefully. Now then, Abraham moves down into the promised land, and God makes a threefold promise to Abraham. Threefold promise to Abraham. Get this. First promise is, what is it? Katie, what's the first promise? You remember? I'll make what? Of you a great, something about great, right? I'll make of you a great nation. Now I'm going to put this great nation in a great land, and someday I'm going to send a great Savior. Promise made to Abraham, promise made to Isaac, promise made to Jacob. We've looked at those verses and everything. There's nothing more important, I think, than to understand that threefold promise. It's the rest of the Bible, and it bridges all the way into the New Testament. Sometimes people don't see the whole story of the Bible, but if you start there and you see that great plan of God unfolding, God says to Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Walk all over this land that's here. I'll give this land to you. And so when they go down to the land of Egypt and come back, they're coming back to get this great land. And then he says, and someday I'm going to send a great Savior. The description in the Old Testament is, in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So a great nation in a great land with a great Savior. Now, there is that land that is there, and there is a problem that develops. There's a problem that develops between Abraham and Lot. What is the nature of that problem that developed between Abraham and Lot? What's the nature of it? Not enough land. Because Abraham is now become an unbelievably wealthy man. And so he and Lot are not having a problem. It's the herdsman of Lot and the herdsman of Abraham. And so Abraham says to Lot, you pick whichever one you want. You, here we stand. If you go this direction, I'll go the other direction. You go the other direction, I'll go this direction. Lot looked and he saw the beautiful Jordan Valley. And he said, that's where I want to go. And so Lot went down into that area. Abraham went back up into the mountains. When he gets back up into the mountains, you read Genesis real carefully. God says to Abraham, don't you worry about this. You go walk through the land, every place your foot steps, I'm going to give this land to you. But he says, now know this, it's not going to happen immediately. Your descendants are going down into a foreign land for 400 years. Then they'll come back, and then that's the time that the land promise will be fulfilled. Now let's talk about Lot. The Bible said Lot, whenever he made the choice, pitched his tent down over in that direction toward Sodom. What is the nature of Lot's spirituality when he gets down into Sodom? Is that a good question? I think sometimes we've been overly critical of Lot going down there. The Bible says it vexed his righteous soul while he was there. Chuck, wherever you're sitting, it's that prayer you led tonight. That Chuck. It's the other Chuck. It's the guy who's the carpenter. Does that make you a woodchuck? I'm not sure if that does or not. Okay. Okay. Anyway, the woodchuck led the prayer tonight. And he prayed about this nation. Are you vexed about what's happening in this land? The morality or lack of morality and the unbelievable things that's happening. It's vexing our righteous soul. Now, whenever God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom, says that to Abraham, Abraham prays to God in behalf of the people that's there. And here's the nature of his prayer. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Here's his argumentation in prayer. Supplication to God. You're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, are you? You know, we live. And sometimes we say to our parents, it's not fair. And that's what Abraham is saying. It's not fair for you to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And so Abraham says, if there's how many souls there? How many righteous souls? What numbers does he start at? There are 50 righteous souls. And then he said, if there's how many? What's his next number?
45.
God said, nope, I'll not. If there are 45, I'll not destroy them. Well, what about if there's 40? So he's jumped it down by 5, and now he jumps it by 10. What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? And God said, I will not destroy this if there are 10 righteous souls. But there aren't 10 righteous souls. And so the Lord, through those heavenly beings, goes down into Sodom, and there's Lot. Now, how do the people of Sodom feel toward Lot? Did you read the book of Genesis? Did you underline any statement that was there that you might not have thought of that was indicative of of their attitude toward Lot? Let me read you over. What chapter in the Bible, what book of the Bible would I read about Sodom and Gomorrah? Genesis? You want to give me a chapter?
19.
Chapter 19. Look in Genesis chapter 19. Whenever those individuals come to Lot's house and surround his house and ask for these men to be brought out that they might know him, talking about in a physical way, the statement is, what verse is that? This man, where is that statement? I've got it. What is it?
8 or 9?
No, it's not the verse I want. Yes, verse 9. This one came in to stay here, talking about Lot, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. He keeps acting as a judge. We may have been hypercritical of Lot in relationship to this. Because Lot is in the city, and sometimes, you know, it's a great sermon that you can preach that he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and before long, Sodom was inside of him. Sodom never really got inside of him. Abraham was given to hospitality, wasn't it? When these strangers came up, what happens whenever Lot sees these strangers there come into the city of Sodom? Same thing, hospitality. You and I need to understand that's a part of this. Now then, God, because he's not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, must remove the righteous people that are in the city, in spite of the fact he will not spare the city, because they're not 10 righteous people, there are some righteous people there. And so these individuals, Lot and who else, are led out by the angels. Lot and his wife and the two daughters. And they're told, as you leave the city, don't look back. You read it carefully. I love the way the old King James said. She, the wife of Lot, looked back from behind. I was the baby in the family. You know where babies are when you're going somewhere? Tagalongs. Let's go. Okay. And I guess it's because their legs were longer than mine. I'm not sure why, but I was always, you know, just back. And so she looks back from behind. What happened to her whenever she disobeyed the heavenly message? The heavenly message says, when you leave this place, don't you look back. What happened to her whenever she looked back? Turned into a pillar of salt. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing story. A little boy in Sunday school, when he heard this, said, well, that's nothing. My mother was driving the car the other day, and she looked back, and she turned into a telephone pole. I think that's different, okay? And I'm sorry, that's hard to sign, right? So Lot leaves. When Lot leaves, where does he go? Where does he go first? Zoar. Do you know what God's original plan for Zoar was? It was just as evil as Sodom. And it was God's original plan to destroy the cities of the plains, and one of those cities was Zoar. That's amazing. You know why he didn't destroy Zoar? Righteous Lot. Abraham had pled for the righteous individuals that were there in Sodom, and now Lot prays these heavenly beings, let us go into this city, the city of Zoar. And so they changed their plan. God changed his plan because of the intercessory prayer. Folks, we need to pray for each other. We need to have intercessory prayer. God bless these. And that's exactly what happened. So they go into the city of Zoar. Guess what happens the next morning? Lot leaves Zoar. Are you reading it carefully? Because he was afraid to stay there. Now when I read, it's because he was afraid to stay there, I come up with two conclusions. I'm not sure which one is the indication of that. Give me two reasons why he might be afraid to stay in Zoar. It's Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That's not the one I came up to originally. The one I came up to originally was that he was afraid of the people in that city. When I read that the first time and I read it through, he was afraid to stay in Zoar. I thought, well, he's afraid of those people who are there. But it might be that what he had just seen in relationship to Sodom and Gomorrah, what he had just seen made him not want to be a part of that. You know how Jude describes Sodom? Jude, in that short one chapter book of Jude, says, God set forth Sodom as an example to immoral people forever. That's a paraphrase. Now, I want you to think about that. And think about what's happening in America and all that we read about coming out of the closet and all that we that is a part of Hollywood. And one of the movies this year for the Academy Awards was all about an individual who was sexually perverted as a star of it of some nature. All the things that's happening in California right this very minute, when the entire state of California votes against immorality. And there are some judges sitting out there right now ready to go against the will of the people. It ought to vex our righteous soul. But we ought to read what Jude said. Jude says, God set forth Sodom as an example of God's treatment of immorality. We better hear that. We better listen to what's said there. All right. That's Abraham and Lot. Abraham's son? What's his son's name? Isaac. What's Abraham's wife's name? Abraham and Sarah. Then Isaac married who? Isaac and Rebecca. So we got Abraham, we got Isaac, and that third patriarch is Abraham, Isaac, and who?
Jacob.
All right. Why does Abraham, what is the meaning of Abraham's name? It used to be Abram, which means exalted father. God changed his name to Abraham, which means what?
Father
of the multitude. Where did Isaac get his name? What does the word Isaac mean? Laughter. When Sarah heard she was going to have a child, she laughed. And so the name of this child when it was born was Laughter. Now when Jacob is born, what name is he given? Jacob, okay? That's not that hard, okay? What does Jacob mean? What is a supplanter?
Trickster.
I like trickster. Somebody that pulls the rug out from under somebody's feet. Now, if you have a child, and that child grows up and you nickname him Trickster, what do you reckon he's going to do? Play tricks, right? What does Jacob do throughout his life? He plays tricks. I mean, his name is Trickster. And so he's all the time playing tricks. The incident about whenever there's the time for that blessing to be given, it's Jacob who goes in there. He's got his mama helping him, but it's Jacob who goes in there. He's a trickster. It's amazing when he gets over to get his wife. You remember the story that Glenn talked about during the gospel meeting? He worked for 7 years to get his wife. What goes around comes around. I don't know if that's in the Bible, but I know this is in the Bible. I do know that's not in the Bible. I know this is in the Bible. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. My mama used to tell me, you're going to reap it in this life. Scared me to death. You know, I was just hoping that God would postpone it till the day of judgment. At least I could enjoy living here, you know. But my mother used to say, Dan, it's going to happen to you here. Well, that's not in the Bible. That's in Geneva, chapter 1, verse 1, as much time as I heard that in my life. But that's what happened to him. Trickster. God changed Jacob's name to what?
Israel.
Now, you would not want the father of the Jewish nation to be named Trickster. God changed his name to Israel. Now, what does that mean? Israel. The E-L in it means God, right? There are names in the Bible that have E-L in them, right? I did that in my class this morning. There's Samuel, there's Daniel, there's Eli, and that's Eli, and that's and someone in the class this morning, it was Joe Quigley in the class this morning, I said, is there another E-L word in the Bible? And Quigley said, elder. So that works too, except that doesn't fit, that doesn't answer my question, okay? It's a true answer, just not the one I was looking for. But God changed his name to Israel, which means a prince of God or one who has power with God. Now, I wish when I was your age, somebody had hit me over the head to make me learn this, okay? I wish when I was your age, somebody had hit me over the head to make me learn this, okay? He goes first, right? Okay. I'm glad you let your brother go first, okay? I really am. When you read in the Bible about the children of Israel, that's not just a name of a nation. You read about the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. You read about the Israelites going into the promised land. When you hear that expression, children of Israel, you need to think children of Jacob. I don't know why my head was so thick that I felt like if I'm going to learn that, somebody needs to hit me in the head so I can get it. You think you got it? The children of Israel are the children of Jacob. Got it? You think your brother knows it? You think he does? All right. Well, if you think your brother knows it, then I'll not ask him, okay? Folks, that's important. Israel, that name, children of Israel, is the bridge between Genesis and the rest of the Bible. I don't know why it never dawned on me. I mean, that nation, I call them the Jews. I call them the Israelites. And I never knew that when I was saying the children of Israel, I was saying the children of Jacob. When I was saying the Israelites, I was saying the Jacobites. And the Israelis are the Jacobies, I guess. I mean that to me is a bridge that ties this Bible together. You see, here's our problem in knowing the Bible. We know individual Bible stories. We just don't know how they fit together. Where does Samson fit in the Bible? I mean, you know all those. What about David and Goliath? Why is that story? What about this matter of Elijah and Elisha? You know all those stories about those characters in the Bible. How does that fit in the big picture of the Bible? And so what we're trying to do is to build in this study the big picture of the Bible. That's why we started with those 15 periods of Bible history. What's that first period? The creation. The second period? The flood. The third period? The patriarchs. And when you go through all of these 15 periods of Bible history, and by the way, that's on that white card that's in this book, you need to learn that because it'll help you. That's not just some bunch of stuff to learn. Dave and I have put a lot of thought in trying to design a study that will help us come out of this as we go through the Bible to have a tremendous overview of the Bible in relationship to that. Okay, let's do some Bible drills. Let's do left side and right side, okay? Let's see. If I stand back this way, this is the right side over here and this is the left side over here. Now the Bible says he puts the sheep where? On the right side. I'm counting on you folks, okay, to do that, okay? And maybe these goats will catch up. I don't know whether they will or not. What'd God make on the second day? Firmament. One for over here. David, stand up and keep score if you would on your hands, okay? Firmament. Who was the first man?
Adam.
Over here on this side. Is it? Maybe I'm not hearing good from over here. Are you shouting out the answers? The first home. Garden of Eden. Over here on this side. All right. Who killed his brother?
Cain.
Over here on this side. All right. Sons of Adam and Eve. Three of them. You started first and said them so slow that she got to the finish line before you did. That's three for this side over here. Is that right? What? And many others. No, she didn't say and many others. But the answer is, and other sons and daughters. Okay? All right. The oldest man. That's got to be a tie. Who walked with God?
Enoch.
Over here on this side. Three Hebrew fathers. Over here on this side, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham's wife?
Sarah.
Over here on this side, sacrificed in Isaac's place.
Ram.
Over here, okay. Turned into a pillar of salt.
Lot's wife.
Folks, shall I give you a heads up over here? Okay, I'm going to ask question number 14 next time, okay? Lot's wife over here on this side, okay? Let's see. Son of Abraham and Isaac. We'll take that one. None, okay? Give this none over here, all right? Good answer, okay? Abraham's nephew. That was a tie, okay? Son of Abraham and Sarah.
Isaac.
Anybody got a muzzle we can put on this one right here, all right? Isaac, okay? Isaac's wife. Rebecca, over here. Way to go, over here, Rebecca. All right. The twins in the Bible. Jacob and Esau. Okay. I don't know who got that one. Okay. This is down the end of that card. We haven't talked about it, so I'll not. Number of people in the ark.
Eight.
Okay. Key locations. Locations. First prophecy about Jesus. I believe it was over here. I heard Genesis 3:15 over here first. Did I? I heard 3:15. You said it? Did you say it before they said it? shall we take a vote? You can vote. Nobody else over here knows for sure, but you know whether you said it before they did it, right? So that's one vote against all this votes over here. You want to take a vote? All right, let's see. That's pretty good. Cities destroyed by the Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? And if you'd pronounce them clearly, I would have given that to you, but Sodom and Gomorrah is not a good answer to that, okay? Where the ark landed? Mountains of Ararat, okay. David, what else we need to do? Anything else? What? Yeah, he would say this because, well, Tracy was sitting over here, okay?